became sacred, tears were weaponized, and a carbon prophet cashed in on fear. In the beginning, there was PowerPoint, and lo, the projector shone upon the masses. In 2006, Al Gore, a man best known until then for nearly becoming president and allegedly inventing the internet, emerged from political exile, wielding a laser pointer like a digital Moses descending from Mount MacBook. The slideshow he carried would forever change the climate conversation. It's titled, An Inconvenient Truth. And for many, it was more than a presentation. It was a sermon, a revelation, a secular altar call to the Church of Environmental Emergency. People didn't just applaud, they wept. It wasn't a documentary. It was eco-theater, a masterclass in emotional manipulation, complete with orchestrated tension and theatrical pacing worthy of Broadway. Now, I know to many this is old news. You've probably heard it before, maybe even rolled your eyes once or twice. But bear with me. This book isn't just rehashing the past. It's laying a foundation. These stories, headlines, and hypocrisies matter because they're the roots of the environmental circus we see today. We'll build on this and a whole lot more to show how we got here and why so much of it doesn't add up. Stick around. The ride only gets bumpier from here. From Vice President to High Priest of Carbon Repentance. Gore was no scientist, no climatologist, no engineer. He was a politician with an Ivy League pedigree, a well-rehearsed clicker finger, and a taste for theatrical gravitas. In a world desperate for answers, he showed up not with nuance, but with certainty, and people loved him for it. He wasn't selling data, he was selling absolution. He told you the world was ending and somehow it was your fault. But if you followed his list of carbon commandments, perhaps salvation was still within reach. The film painted a stark picture. Catastrophic floods, starving polar bears, superstorms, coastal cities swallowed by rising tides. It had all the apocalyptic trappings of an end times thriller, minus the angels, plus a Nobel Peace Prize. If we continue releasing carbon at these levels, Gore warned, the Earth will suffer irreversible consequences. He made that prediction in 2006, for 2016. He made a similar one in 2009, for 2019. He made another in 2023, for the distant yet always near future. Each time the world failed to end on cue, he simply moved the deadline like a doomsday preacher updating his rapture calendar. And guess what? We haven't reduced emissions in any meaningful way. We have just shuffled them around. We've made pollution less visible, more exportable, and easier to ignore, but we haven't fundamentally reduced it. We've just become really good at hiding it. Carbon credits and the gospel of green cash. As the general public wiped tears from their eyes and vowed to stop using plastic straws, Gore was doing something far less teary-eyed, getting rich. He co-founded Generation Investment Management, a firm designed to capitalize on green technology and carbon markets. It was a hedge fund for the guilt-ridden, a place where climate panic could be converted into venture capital. As the fear spread, so did the money. Gore's personal wealth exploded. After leaving office with a net worth under $2 million, he soon surpassed the $300 million mark, all while maintaining the moral high ground on emissions. But here's the part many don't know. His Tennessee mansion reportedly consumed more electricity in a single month than the average American home uses in a year. Rather than cut back, Gore simply bought carbon offsets from companies he had financial interests in. That's not environmentalism. That's a closed-loop indulgence racket. In medieval Europe, corrupt clergy sold indulgences, payments in exchange for forgiveness. Got sin? Pay a fee and shave time off your stay in purgatory. This reprehensible act is one of the reasons Martin Luther started the Reformation. Al Gore simply modernized the practice. Pollute all you want, just pay the right toll and your conscience is clear. Carbon credits became the new tithe, and guilt became the currency of the realm. Tears, fear, and the power of performance. So why did An Inconvenient Truth make people cry? Because it was built to. The emotional engineering was meticulous. The music swelled at key moments. Gore's voice dipped into great